Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Live, local, logical. It's Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join the conversation at 512-643-5483. Now, here are Cardle and Woolley.
You know, Jim, I can't tell you how good I feel about myself this morning.
Okay, that would be because...
Well, because there's big, huge problems at the airport and I'm not flying.
Oh, yes.
You know, and usually, I don't know what it is. I always think I'm the reason for this because in my flying life, where I used to go to Chicago a lot, I mean, I've been through airplane pilot strikes. I've been through weather delays. I've been through outages, everything possible. And right now, the Austin airport is in one of those phases here. Remember, we just had another one within the last month, and now we've got a power outage at the airport. Flights aren't taking off. The traffic is a disaster. You can't, what is it, Presidential Drive that leads up to the Barbara
Boulevard,
Jordan
yep,
Terminal?
Yep, unbelievable.
And the exit before that, if I'm not mistaken, is Spirit of Texas, which takes you back into the bowels of some of the parking lots and things.
Uh-huh.
Those are blocked.
Cell phone holding pin, yeah.
I'm telling you,
if you
had a 6 o'clock flight today,
oh,
or you
gosh.
Got a 7 o'clock flight today, oh boy.
And you and I have talked about this before, not being a airport that has a lot of direct flights quite yet because of our size. It's a bit of a commuter airport, which means people leave early and there's thousands of folks out there early in the morning trying to catch their pre 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock flights to catch other connections at other airports. This is an absolute mess, Lynn.
No flights departing as of 5:45. Crews working to find the cause of the outage and restore power. And you wonder, is this physical or is this digital? I mean, is there some computer problem that's stopping the power from getting out there? Or is there been a big trunk line destroyed? Do we know if a truck ran over a telephone pole that resulted in all this? We just don't know these things yet.
You're raising questions that are being determined. And as I was driving in this morning, that very question was being asked. The question was, is it a connection, a major pipe going into? Casey's got updates for us. Casey, what's the latest?
Yeah, not so much new from the airport, but we do have a couple of details from Austin Energy that goes along with what y'all are talking about. The power lines feeding the airport, they're all underground, is okay. What Austin Energy has told us. So that's part of the delay with trying to figure out what's going on here. Austin Energy crews are trying to figure out where that power outage is, what it's being caused by. Basically, the entire airport campus is without utility power right now. Austin Energy, that's basically the only outage on their map this morning, is right there centered over Austin-Bergstrom Airport. Actually, I take that back. One little outage has now popped up in far, far south Austin. But again, the big one we're talking about right here at the airport, and again, it's affecting virtually the entire airport campus right there centered at 71 and 183 on the city's southeast side.
All right, you're a computer guy, Casey. Is it possible somebody could hack this type of thing?
Possible, yes. I don't think there's any evidence to support that yet. I think we'll find out. This is something infrastructure related.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've heard stories before of Austin Energy and infrastructure problems, and as a growing city, we, you know, have those challenges.
Are subject to that.
Yeah, they're continuing to face. And I think as the airport continues to grow, you know, they're obviously working to increase their infrastructure out there as well. We're finding out that backup generators are now coming online. The terminal is getting some power. The TSA computer system is not back up and running yet, so that is causing continued problems with trying to get those security checkpoints moving. Mm-hmm. That would be a big first step towards mm-hmm. getting the airport back up and running. It can run on generator power from what we've been told if everything was working. But the problem is, because it wasn't working and it hasn't been able to come back up yet, that's where we're kind of stalled.
Well, two things. The control tower obviously has got to be fully functional. And the other thing is, Jim was saying we're just a small commuter airport, but this past Friday was the second busiest day ever. Thousands of people travel for Labor Day. And Jim, do you want to guess how many people went through the airport on Friday?
Oh, gosh, I have
34,611.
34,000. That's the size of a small town. And a lot of cars coming in and out. But let me ask you this, Lynn Woolley, because Casey raises some interesting points. You're a technological guy. You know what the cloud is.
Yeah, it's that thing the rain comes out of.
The cloud on the internet and on social media is a bunch of companies that house these Google, these Facebook, these Twitter, all these computers are in data centers at various places across the country. Some of them I've been able to tour are out, in fact, by the airport. And the interesting thing I learned there is they are cooled by water often. And not only one water pipeline, they have three water pipelines, and it's called redundancy. Then they also have a high use of electricity. Not only is there a major line from one substation from Austin Electric, there's two and three backups from Austin Energy, different substations. So this is going to be really curious to me to see what in the world would have happened. And the idea you raised about hacking, I'd hate to think something like that, but boy, somebody wanted to get the attention of the nation in Silicon Hills, that wouldn't be a bad idea. Hopefully that's not where it's going to
end up. Well, you mentioned water. Back on August 10, you'll recall, the Lady of Logic was flying out of Austin.
Mm-hmm.
She got through real quick because she's a TSA pre-screened until they made everybody leave. And then they all had to go back through screening again, and the airport said it was a water main break.
Yes.
On the airport apron.
Yep.
The space where the planes are parked as the passengers board and deplane. Somehow that set off the fire alarm, and all the evacuated passengers had to wait outside until they were allowed to re-enter. So if these things come in threes, I can hardly wait to see what happens in October.
Yes, sir. So we...
All right, bottom line, Jim.
Yes.
You can't get there from here.
No, absolutely.
So don't try it.
Whole day's shot, I would imagine.
The whole day's probably going to be a mess. I'm sure they'll get flights out.
Eventually.
But I think the bottom line here as we go into the break is to tell people to stay tuned to 1370.
Yep.
Because even after Cardle and Woolley is off the air, we will still be having updates, regular updates. You can check out the airport's social media. You can check out their website. I'm sure they'll put bulletins up everywhere they can. And, of course, other media will have things about it as well. But we'll be on top of it all day.
At Austin Airport is the Twitter handle, it looks like here. And, as you're saying, Lynn, all day long, massive backup.
Because you're going to need to know as much as you can about what you do next. And if you have an app for Southwest or American mm-hmm. or Delta or whatever you're flying, follow that app because they will send you regular updates.
And you had a little bit of show set today prior to the big announcement at the Austin Airport.
Yeah,
We're
about as loaded as a 2-hour show can possibly cram stuff into. We will have it all. We'll get everything we can in, plus Chip Roy, an Austin congressman, will join us a little bit later in the hour. Talk 1370 is the right choice. It's the only place you need to tune for information on this airport thing. So stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Logically discussing the issues Austin cares about. Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join in 512-643-5483.
Our big story continuing through the morning will be the shutdown of the Austin airport due to a massive power failure and the ensuing traffic parking lot that you have out there on 71. We will keep you updated. Casey is watching it. Jim and I are watching it as well.
And parking lot is no understatement.
No, that's not an understatement at all. New York City Mayor Adams has sent a delegation to the southern border amid the clash with Texas Governor Abbott. We've got a story here from somewhere.
Fox News.
This is a Fox News story. I couldn't tell who it was from. I think this is very interesting. They've already ushered them over to a detention center at Eagle Pass that is just overcrowded to the max. And some of the authorities, Jim, are saying that this New York delegation is only getting a small sample of how bad it really is so far.
Well, you go to Eagle Pass. Here we were talking a moment ago about Labor Day Friday, there were about 35,000 people, 34,000 going through the Austin airport. Eagle Pass, Texas, I think, is only about 28,000 itself. So if you've got 200 to 500 illegal immigrants crossing the border every single day for month after month, week after week, for a year plus, you're talking about multiple times the city population. And that goes on all across the border. You've got an absolute onslaught for hospitals, for police.
But to stay with the core fact here that New York has sent a delegation.
And they're seeing a fraction of what's the problem. Yes,
you're right. A couple of things that I'd like to ask you. Number one, this has been a great opportunity for Mayor Eric Adams to go, and it would have been a great opportunity for Biden to either go or send Kamala.
Well, they can't do that because then they would see what the actual problem is, and they've been telling us that there is no problem.
To them, Jim, there is no problem. This is the reason that people can drown in multiples of numbers. And Joe Biden doesn't do one thing about it is his ideology prevents him from doing it. Biden is essentially a member of the squad. Biden is an extremist left winger who believes that there should be no borders.
Making it more clear every day that he's out on the campaign trail.
So what will be the outcome of this? Will New York have their eyes opened or will they continue to be left wing nutcases?
Well, we probably should not overlook the fact that they went. I have to give them credit for that. They could have totally ignored the situation, they being the New York City administration, just like the Biden administration, won't even send the border czar Kamala Harris down there. At least New York City sent some folks down there. So,
what will be the result? They're going to go down there and they're going to see what Texas faces day in and day out. And I check, this is a day out. Probably because of the airport situation. Today's an official day out.
Well,
they go down there. They're going to see all this. Will it change left-wing minds? And can left-wing minds like Frito Vela be changed?
The answer would be negative to that. However, on the other hand, I do think if you're from New York City and all of a sudden you've got 1,900 illegal immigrants all of a sudden invading your city, doesn't matter how they got there, you're going to look for best practices.
In a metro area of 20 million people, that's nothing. I don't even know why they know how they even possibly notice it.
But you're going to have capabilities and learn how to do some things to handle that process.
What do you make of these five DPS officers being investigated in the Uvalde response, and two are suspended with pay? I'm not sure that's a lot of punishment. I know there's a little bit of embarrassment there. The KXAN headline, five DPS officers being investigated for Uvalde response, two of them suspended. That's with pay. The Texas Tribune and ProPublica headline, 91 Texas state troopers responded to the Uvalde massacre. Their bosses have deflected scrutiny and blame. Yeah. So essentially, this is an attack piece by the Texas Tribune against the Texas Department of Public Safety, saying that they deflect scrutiny because the DPS leaders are controlling which records get released to the public and carefully shaping a narrative that casts local law enforcement as incompetent. Your thoughts?
Well, what we've got here, finally, after the tragedy in Uvalde, you had a total of 370 law enforcement officers all of a sudden descending. DPS is the state agency that helps all of Texas's 254 counties respond to emergencies such as this, and there's going to be some
analysis.
Well, but
do you agree with the Texas Tribune, apparently, and this is a long article, you'd have to have a month to read it, but they're saying that in part, the DPS is controlling the narrative based on records that get released and shaping a narrative. Apparently, they're accusing them of doing this and that it's malfeasance on their part that casts local law enforcement as incompetent.
Well,
and that's why I was asking you directly. Do you think this is a Texas Tribune hit piece, or do they have a point?
I'm going to go with a little bit of both, but predominantly the latter. I think there's going to be and there's already been admitted incompetence, and there's going to be a discovery of incompetence.
But how far out does that incompetence go?
Is it
the school police plus the local police
plus the DPS? Yep.
Everything.
And being a resident skeptic like you are, I think ourselves included, anybody needs to look at this and find out what was done right, perhaps more importantly, what was done wrong, because the malfeasance here is going to be up and down the line, no matter if it was the local ISD or the statewide.
Has this turned away from caring about families of children who got shot and into a let's shift the blame story now? Is that what it is? Because that's what the media is portraying it as.
Well, obviously, yesterday we had, and over the weekend, a lot of schools went back to being open for the fall term. I think that there's going to be a logical progression of analysis throughout the follow-up to this tragedy, and this is not necessarily a hit piece. I think you're going to start seeing people analyze the personal tragedy, the personal impacts of kids not being able to go back to school.
All right, but look,
family
but
losses,
look,
but the analysis of the police is important.
Just got a couple of seconds here, and yes. I just have a default position on a lot of things.
Okay.
And my default position was that the Uvalde school system did everything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
My second default is that the police didn't want to get shot, so they just decided to let the kids take it.
Local police, one could reach that conclusion. They didn't run into the the fire as first responders.
As Abbott first bragged that they did, and then turned out that he had to go back and eat those words.
That's what he was told. It wasn't necessarily true.
Talk 1370 is the right choice. Jim Cardle in the morning. I'm his sidekick and junior partner, Lynn Woolley, and we'll be back in just a moment.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Live, local, and taking your calls at 512-643-5483. It's Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370.
All right, Cardle and Woolley in the morning. Chip Roy coming up in mere moments, and we will talk about a couple of things, including the firing of a chaplain at the fire department over ideology. Now, Jim, we are learning boatloads.
Oh, yes.
About this whole special master thing, and it's essentially because we had a ruling from a judge saying that the special master can come in. Meanwhile, over on Fox and Friends First, a Trump attorney, Mark Smith, attorney Mark Smith, mm-hmm. he's a constitutional attorney and former member of the Trump transition team, to mm-hmm. be exact. Mm-hmm. He says this ruling is a big victory for Trump, and it's a loss for the DOJ, and here's why.
Well, obviously, from a public relations point of view, this is a huge victory for President Trump because the Department of Justice said they did not want a special master appointed because it was not needed. And why wasn't it needed, according to the Department of Justice? It's because the Department of Justice could be trusted to, you know, filter through the relevant information. Anything that should not be turned over to the investigative team would be set aside. But here you have an independent federal judge saying, I hear what you're saying, Department of Justice, but I'm not going to agree with you here. We need an independent third party that has no connection to the Department of Justice to make this determination. The other interesting thing, if you look at the court order, is apparently some of the documents that were supposed to have been filtered out already were exposed improperly to the investigative team. And the judge says, in light of that, I simply cannot trust the Department of Justice to do the job itself, and we need an independent person in here. So again, it is a blow to the Department of Justice. As to how long it will be a blow to the DOJ's and their investigation, hard to say, but for the moment, it's a win for Donald Trump.
Well, and then one of the things is, why is the Department of Justice in such a big rush right now? Remember, they took forever to get this going, and don't forget the John Durham investigation, which is taking millennia.
Yeah.
And nothing is happening. So why is it such a big rush?
I'm not really sure the Department of Justice is really in a rush at the end of the day, because keep in mind, President Trump has been out of office for over a year and a half, which is not exactly a fast time. And they've been talking about these documents for, again, just about 18 months. So what is the rush here? I'm not sure at the end of the day there really is a rush, but certainly that was their position in court in front of this federal judge. They wanted to move with speed because it's so important, but one does wonder, well, why did it take them 18 months if this is so important? It's not like these documents and the president was unknown. They've known about this. So, yes, I think that might be a litigation position. But at the end of the day, one wonders, are they really moving with speed? It's not so clear.
Smith asked how it plays out, and will Trump be charged by the DOJ jackals?
I'm not sure he's actually going to be indicted, but remember, sometimes the lingering concern about being indicted or charged with a crime is a punishment in and of itself, because the mere fact that we're having this conversation today about whether or not President Trump is going to be charged with a crime demonstrates that in terms of a public relations political point of view, it's something that we're talking about, right? We're not talking about the midterm so much. We're talking about President Trump, who hasn't been president for almost, you know, upward going towards 2 years, right? And yet we're still talking about him. So how does this ultimately play out? There's the question of what will happen in the court system. I'm skeptical they will actually charge him, but in terms of the ongoing political ramifications of this, we're going to keep talking about this because it's a big deal, because he's a former president of the United States and a potential future presidential candidate. So of course it's going to remain in the headlines.
And I don't mind it remaining in the headlines, because I think we're going to find out a lot more stuff. The piece in Just the News this morning, for example, Jim, mm-hmm. has some amazing revelations.
He's talking about there, I like the quote, the first line out of his mouth was, from a public relations standpoint, in politics, reality is what's perceived. And in this case, I think Donald Trump's being attacked by Joe Biden, as are all of his followers. But yeah, you raise a good point about the new information.
Well, here's the key thing in John Solomon's website, and, mm-hmm. and John Solomon, who's an investigative reporter, you see him on Fox sometimes, mm-hmm. he wrote this article. Listen to this. More than simply appointing a special master to referee an evidence dispute, U.S. District Judge Eileen Cannon exposed this week a Justice Department search of former President Trump's home that was initiated by his chief Democratic rival. Let that sink in.
Yep.
Initiated by his chief Democratic rival, because Joe Biden said he did not get any advance warning of it.
Yep.
He initiated it.
And for a federal official.
And apparently
official,
then they didn't tell him what day they were going
to
do it, though.
From the bench to say that is pretty damning, I would say. And it's not and as she, if the rush couldn't be the upcoming election.
And she said it was carried out so sloppily that it violated the least intrusive mandate. That's in quotes, least intrusive.
Yep.
The FBI agent's manual says when you raid somebody's house, you do not raid stuff that doesn't need raiding.
Like
you,
medical records and passports, perhaps?
Stuff like that,
yeah,
precisely, and that the FBI failed to keep legally protected materials from falling into the hands of investigators. In other words, the special master was granted because the Department of Justice and the FBI cannot be trusted.
Well, that was going to be my point. There, the reference was made that everybody within the Department of Justice has been saying that we can be trusted. Most trusted, the FBI, after the last 4 or 5 years, I don't believe a word that comes out of the FBI right now. James Clapper, James Comey, all these other folks that have been in the news over the last couple of years, if anything, they are a political and weaponized institution at this point. I don't think any of Americans, by and large, even the Democrats and Joe Biden's backers, believe all that they hear out of them.
Austin Fire Department fires their chaplain for saying that boys should not be allowed in girls' sports. Where is his freedom of speech? Where's his First Amendment? And where's Chip Roy, our congressman? He'll be right here after a few words. Talk 1370, The Right Choice. Jim Cardle and Lynn Woolley, and we'll be back.
Your daily recommended allowance of logic. It's Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join in 512-643-5483.
Well, Jim, that's an interesting situation at the airport. It's still a mess, but it's gradually improving.
A mess, right, for an extended period of time.
It will
today,
be, and
yes,
if you're flying out this morning, our prayers and thoughts are with you. you know, you're going to need them. Austin Fire Department fired their chaplain for saying that boys should not be allowed in girls' sports. Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
Since when should boys be allowed in girls' sports? But that's what we're seeing. Leah Thomas, of the pride of Westlake High School, and more and more and more. We've got Congressman Chip Roy on the line, and let's talk about this and also another release that he put out yesterday. Congressman, good morning.
Good morning to y'all, the pride of Westlake High School. I see what you did there.
All right. Well, you've kind of gotten involved in this situation. We're talking about Dr. Andrew Fox. The Austin Fire Department dismissed him for his refusal to apologize for a blog post where he expressed a truth that men are men and women are women and they're biologically different. Where does this stand, and what are you trying to do about it?
Yeah, well, first of all, I appreciate y'all focusing on this issue. Dr. Fox, Andrew Fox, he's a really good man. I've spoken to him on the phone. He was a volunteer chaplain for the fire department here in Austin, Texas. He's been doing it for 8 years. You know, he posted what I think most of us would recognize are traditional views, at least for the vast majority of Christians, about, you know, there being man, there being woman, and particularly in the context of sports. And he posted that, and then all of a sudden, the, you know, Austin Fire Department are getting on him about it. And actually, I'll modestly correct you there for a little bit. He actually did apologize, frankly, probably went a little farther than I would have gone. And trying to apologize and saying that, you know, he did not intend to, you know, make anybody, you know, target anybody and so forth. He met with some different groups. And then, but they came back and they were going to say, hey, you got to put out a statement, basically recanting your beliefs, essentially. I mean, and, you know, he's not going to do that. I mean, that's a blatant and clear violation of the First Amendment. And so God bless him. He's fighting this in court. He's filed suit, I believe, in the Western District here in Austin. And he's got some good religious liberty lawyers. They're going to go out and try to protect him on it. But he's a good man. I mean, this is the thing that he shouldn't be having to do this. But I'm glad he's out there trying to defend our rights in the context of what he's going through.
Congressman Chip Roy, Jim Cardle here. It's a bigger context that happens to be fitting into this chaplain situation here, the idea of free speech, the idea of the president of the United States now so blatantly attacking, quote unquote, hate and violence and so forth. This is a real cultural battle that's going on here in Austin, Texas. Seems to keep stepping in it. Talk about the bigger picture. This is becoming a national story as well. It should be.
Well, it is certainly a part of a larger and ever-increasing attack on our free speech rights, our ability to exercise our closely held religious beliefs, all paramount to our constitutional rights that are protected, specifically to guard against the state being able to interfere with our living our lives according to our conscience.
Yes.
And so that, I think, is what we're seeing fundamentally impacting people across the country. And this administration has been particularly egregious in carrying out these sorts of targeted attacks on individuals. But if people think that it's not going to happen here, right, you don't have to look any farther than Finland, right, where we saw a member of parliament being attacked for quoting scripture, literally quoting scripture. And that's the kind of thing that's coming to a place near you here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't stand up on our God-given rights that were, of course, embodied in the Bill of Rights, but were articulated and laid out in the Declaration, right? And
yes,
that was our founding instrument, which is going to be 250 years old in about 3 years, and almost 4 years. And that's what we need to get back to.
And as John Adams said in the founding of the country and the Declaration, the Constitution will work only for a moral people. This is the attack. First, they take religion out of schools. Now they're taking it out of the fire department. You cannot express an opinion about having some moral character and hard work in this country. And no wonder we're seeing a decline in civil behavior.
Well, that, and we're also seeing a direct attack on individuals who are serving in government. For example, the members of the United States military, where they have become so woke, so focused on DEI, you know, diversity, equity, inclusion, all the stuff driven by critical race theory with Marxist roots. All of that stuff you're seeing in the Department of Defense, in the Department of Education, our schools across the country. It's causing us to lose teachers. It's causing us to lose recruits in the military. We are now at really dangerous lows in our recruiting levels, all the way through our military, particularly the Army, the Navy, a little less so Air Force and Marines, but they're all down. And I can tell you, talking to line folks, it is heavily driven by all of this woke garbage, you know, making sure you've got pronouns and emails and all sorts of things and directives that we're seeing exposed on a regular basis. And I got to tell you something. House Republicans, if they're given the House representatives back, better have hearings on this stuff, expose it, and fight it if they want the American people to
Chip, we've just got about a slightly over a minute left and a hard break coming up, but I do want to get your reaction to President Biden's red speech from a few nights ago in which he demeaned 74 million Trump voters.
Well, when the President of the United States stand up in front of Independence Hall, a building in which our forefathers got inside there, pledged their lives, fortunes, and sacred honor in order to give us liberty. And he stands up and says that if you're in the minority, you're an extremist. That tells you everything you need to know about the psychology of this administration. And it's our duty in the House of Representatives and Texas leadership to stand up and defend Texans and freedom lovers across the country. It was completely unacceptable. We need to march forward and take care of vision into November, so the people will rally behind us so we can take this country back so we can stand up for America.
And speaking in November, we've been saying that the cavalry, in essence, is coming in November. We always like to be positive. What did Chip Roy wake up this morning being positive about America over?
Well, just dropped my kids off at school. The sun's rising. This is a great, beautiful place. We love this country. I'm positive about the people, but we got to get the leadership in Washington out of the way of the American people and allow our fundamental rights to be, for us to prosper under them. That's what I'm positive about, and we'll carry that forward.
All right, Congressman Chip Roy, and we hope to see you a little bit later this month up in D.C. at Hold Their Feet to the Fire, and if you're able to attend that, we'll see you there.
God bless. Hope to see you.
All right. Congressman Chip Roy. Yeah, he's pretty upset about that fire department thing, and everybody in this city should be upset about that. Talk 1370 is the right choice. Cardle and Woolley, and we'll be back.
Live, local, logical. It's Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join the conversation at 512-643-5483. Now, here are Cardle and Woolley.
Members of the squad and people who are similar to members of the squad have been wanting Joe Biden to just uncork it, get out there, get aggressive, get mean, get nasty, and go after Republicans. And Biden is doing it. And Jim, there's been a 1,000 people polled by a couple of organizations, Convention of States Action and the Trafalgar Group.
Yes.
And they have had some results come out of this showing that 56.8% of those surveyed thought that Biden's speech was a dangerous escalation.
Well, never before in the history of this nation has an elected official, let alone a president, adopted the tactic that to win the next election, you have to get the public to hate your opponent more than they hate and dislike you. That's what's going on. And you're darn right. He's attacking Americans, and most of us aren't going to take very kindly to
that. But here's an interesting thing that comes out of that survey. Only 19% of Democrats said the remarks went too far. So who are the extremists out there? And then 62.4% of independents.
That's huge.
Said that Biden's remarks were a dangerous escalation in rhetoric designed to incite conflict amongst Americans. Now, that was probably the question. That's not what they said. That's what the poll said. And 62.4% agreed with it. And about 31% of independents said it was acceptable rhetoric during an election year.
Just so folks are understand, Joe Biden said, quote, MAGA Republicans do not respect the Constitution. They do not believe in the rule of law. They do not believe in the rule of law, he repeated himself. They do not recognize the will of the people. They promote authoritarian leaders and fan the flames of political violence. That, to me, is way, way, way too much, and clearly even the independents think so.
Yeah, and a related issue, Jim Cardle, is this issue of stolen elections. You have asked me, and I have asked you, was the 2020 election stolen from Donald Trump? My answer has been, obviously, we don't know what we don't know. No, I will not use the word stolen.
I
recognize Joe Biden as the president of the United States. But to say there were no irregularities is to blindfold yourself and live in bizarro world.
Is to be in denial.
There were multiple irregularities, with the latest being revealed right here in Austin, Texas last week,
when Joe Rogan interviewed Mark Zuckerberg about the FBI trying to suppress the Hunter Biden story.
Oh, the FBI did tell Facebook to downplay the Hunter
that
Biden.
That is correct.
That's misinformation.
Right, but this whole stolen election thing has a life of its own.
Mm-hmm.
As you often say, if the Democrats say something, it usually means they're doing it and
correct.
Not the people they're saying doing it. Now, KJP, Karine Jean-Lafayette, I'm sorry, what is the
Pierre,
there we go.
The White House spokeswoman.
Yes, the White House spokeswoman was on MSNBC in some years prior to becoming the spokeswoman for Biden.
Yeah.
And she just ranted and raved about stolen elections, especially Stacey Abrams down in Georgia.
Yep.
And those tweets that she made still exist. Remember, if it's ever been on a computer, it'll be on a computer until Jesus comes back.
A long time.
And you do wonder if the press corps at the White House is comprised of Peter Ducey.
Ooh.
Period.
That'd be something.
Because nobody else ever asks. Every now and then, somebody will ask an interesting question. Usually, it's Peter Ducey.
You mean a real investigative journalist?
Journalist.
Asking
that's
tough
correct.
Questions. Absolutely.
So Ducey to Karine Jean-Pierre on Biden's MAGA attacks and on stolen elections.
The new attention on the MAGA Republicans. You tweeted in 2016,
I knew this
Trump
was coming.
Stole an election.
I was waiting, Peter, when you were going to ask me that question.
Well, great. Here we go. You tweeted Trump stole an election. You tweeted Brian Kemp stole an election. If denying election results is extreme now.
Yeah.
So
let's be really clear. That comparison that you made is just ridiculous. You're asking me a question.
Yes.
Let me answer it.
And you said ridiculous.
I was talking specifically at that time of what was happening with voting rights and the what was in danger of voting rights. That's what I was speaking to at the time.
Uh-huh.
And do you know in Georgia in particular they passed improved voter regulations in the state of Georgia, and what happened? Voting went up 500,000.
Then Ducey asked Karine Jean-Pierre about which election was stolen now and precisely what is the difference in the rhetoric?
A follow-up about the MAGA Republican attention. So if we're all in agreement that it is incorrect to say the 2020 election was stolen, what about the 2016 election?
Look, I'm not going to go back to where we were or what happened in 2016. We're going to focus on the here and now. We're going to focus on what's happening today, this inflection point that the president pointed out very clearly, very decisively in a few speeches about what the country needs to do at this time to bring the country together. And he believes that's where majority of Americans are when it comes to protecting our democracy, when it comes to protecting our rights, and when it comes to protecting our freedoms. That's what we're going to talk about. That's what we're going to focus on where we are at today.
Well, in this exchange between Peter Ducey, who appears to be the only reporter that ever shows up at these press briefings and asks a hard question.
There's a few more coming out.
As noted in the exchange, President Biden continues to claim that MAGA Republicans are a dangerous threat to American democracy. And when asked about why, Biden has cited election integrity concerns expressed by Republican voters as the qualification. In other words, when the coup has been made, and when the dictator now speaks, he tells his peasants, the proletariat, the steerage, whatever you want to call
us red American, red-blooded Americans,
that if you disagree with him, then you are part of the problem. This is oppressive government. This is what happens in countries that are run by dictators and banana republics.
Yep.
So during a speech last week, flanked by two U.S. Marines, and by the way, dictators like to have their bodyguards present at their speeches on either side of them.
Intimidation.
Biden viciously attacked MAGA Republicans as a threat to the Republic. 2 days before, he threatened right-wing Americans with bombings by an F-15 military jet. All right, so let's just review. Let's go back to the red speech, first of all. Here's Biden jumping on MAGA.
We must be honest with each other and with ourselves. Too much of what's happening in our country today is not normal. Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic. Now, I want to be very clear up front. Not every Republican, not even the majority of Republicans, are MAGA Republicans. Not every Republican embraces their extreme ideology. I know, because I've been able to work with these mainstream Republicans.
Yeah, and that's actually him trying to walk a little of it back. But let's go back 2 days before the Red speech, where Biden was taunting MAGAs about guns versus F-15s. This is one of the weirder things that he said. Listen to this. He's basically saying, okay, you've got your AR-15s, we've got our F-15s, so don't try anything, Jack.
And for those brave right-wing Americans who say it's all about keeping America's independent and safe, if you want to fight against the country, you need an F-15. You need something a little more than a gun. No, I'm not joking. Think about this. Think about the rationale we use.
He's not joking.
It's just sleazy all the way around to have a president talk about our fellow Americans like this.
And then the next day, Biden walked the severity of his MAGA Republican claims back a little bit, but the press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, continued to defend the strategy. So let's go back in time, just a couple of days, with Karine Jean-Pierre, and here she is defending the use of the Marines at the Red speech.
The presence of the Marines at the speech was intended to demonstrate the deep and abiding respect the president has for these service members, to these ideals, and the unique role our independent military plays in defending our democracy, no matter which party is in power. Again, no matter which party is in power. And it is not abnormal, it is actually normal for presidents from either side of the aisle to give speeches in front of members of the military.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in front of members of the military.
Why have we never seen it before?
Well, we've probably seen it before, but not quite like that. All right, we've got some calls holding. We'll get to those after the break, and we'll do that in just a moment.
Austin Logical. It's Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join the conversation, 512-643-5483.
Well, let's do some phone calls. How about Stephen's on the line? He's been holding for a while out of Round Rock. Stephen, what's on your mind?
Well, I want to thank you for the great job that you did just now roasting Jean-Pierre. That was excellent, fellas. Mm. And I sent Casey a couple of links to some videos that y'all need to watch about election fraud. Yeah, they're pretty short, but they are potent.
Thank you.
Yes. All right, so getting on to what I wanted to really talk about, it's this written ruling coming from the federal judge in Florida about the special master. And she said in this ruling that she didn't like the way that this thing had been done and that the Justice Department could not be trusted. They could not be trusted so much that she said that they had to stop the investigation right where they are and not proceed any further. Mm-hmm. And this is along the lines that if they did an illegal search, a violation of the Fourth Amendment, that they might, if they proceed forward, the fruit from a poison tree.
Well, yeah, and that's of course, District Judge Eileen Cannon, whom the left will point out was a Trump appointee. But
when they don't point the actor, yes. Of course it's the person. They never seemed to say that when the Supreme Court was ruling in their favor.
Well, but look, they judge shop far worse than the right does.
Well, it's worse than
Both parties judge shop. And so, you know, I always looked it up when they get a judge that has a favorable ruling. I always look it up to see who appointed that judge. I think that's fair game. But I also think that this particular judge has a point. Stephen?
Yes. Yes, and what's a real shame is that we count, we try to have faith and believe in the Tinkerbell, right?
Yeah.
We want to believe that our judiciary is unbiased and that Lady Justice does have her blindfold on at all times, right? It's not the case.
No.
And therefore, You have to be skeptical of these judges, because they do have bias.
Or certainly of the Department of Justice and the FBI. There's a long and growing list of incompetence and weaponization against the American people, certainly against Donald Trump. They're out to get him.
Jim is on 1431. Jim, good morning.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Great show as usual.
Thank you.
Your mention earlier of that survey or whatever they took at 19% of Democrats, only 19% finding it inflammatory or wrong or inaccurate. The deal is, all these people have been so well conditioned by the media to hate Trump and anything having to do with Trump, which includes the word MAGA, that anything's better than Trump. And they probably do not like Biden, but hey, he's better than Trump, so that's all that matters. And I think that's what's going on here.
Oh, that's clearly what Joe Biden's trying to do. He's trying to make the American independent voter hate Republicans and conservatives and anybody affiliated with Trump more than they hate. That's why the polls show Joe Biden's approval rating is in the high 30s.
Well, and you wonder, Jim, back in the day when we had Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton and all that, and Ronald Reagan was in office, they didn't go after MIAs. And I was an MIA, Morning in America. You know, the whole idea of Ronald Reagan was he was the eternal optimist about America. Trump comes in, and he's also an optimist, but his stick is not that we are having morning in America, but that we can get back there because the left has taken us away from morning in America. They have literally defined America as a country where we can all be equally miserable unless you're an elite, and then you don't have to be miserable. But everybody else has got to be miserable. Let's get prices way up. Let's have massive inflation. Let's open the borders so that the states like Texas and Arizona can be hell holes. Let's leave Americans behind in Afghanistan. I mean, how far do you want to go? I can't think of anything this president has done that has brought this country together or made this country better. And make America great again is one of the all-time great political slogans. And Joe Biden is risking something by going after it.
Let me ask Jim this, though. Jim, do you respect the Constitution? Do you believe in violence in the streets? This is Joe Biden, I think, offending us, is it not?
This is the Constitution, and it's there for a reason, and it's the reason why we've existed for as long as we've existed, and they want to tear it down. The Constitution stands for whatever make America great again means, and they know that, and they cannot stand the Constitution, and we know that.
Yes.
As for Biden, this is not administration, this is a regime, and it is the regime built on lies and fraud. And what we have is a liar in chief. And as for Karine, you have a White House spokes liar. It is all lies, and I'm just fed up with it.
That's a good one, Jim. I'm going to use that. This is not an administration.
Yeah.
This is a regime.
Thanks, Jim. And look at the things that the left would like to do if we are the greatest country ever to change it. Number one, they want to get rid of the Senate filibuster. Number two, they want to get rid of the Electoral College. Number three, they want to add states. So they and number four, they want to pack the Supreme Court. Adding states would allow them, if they split up states like California, bring in places like Puerto Rico that would vote for the left, that would be stacking the Congress. They also want to stack the Supreme Court. Look, if a Democrat can get his Supreme Court appointments through, that's fine with me.
Yeah, but what
Biden just got one through. That's the way it works.
What Jim's saying is it's not only their administration and their policies, it's their dislike and their hatred for what America's been built on. That is what's underpinning the whole thing.
Delvin's in Waco. Delvin, we got about, 20 seconds. Take all of it.
You know, you guys complain about Biden calling y'all fascists. You ought to embrace it because that's what you are. Also, I don't see how you can be so offended. Y'all call Democrats pedophiles. So whatever. Get on board. And I'll tell you something else.
Do you know what a map is, Delvin?
A what?
A map. M-A-P. It's a minor attracted person. Your side came up with that, not our side.
What? Okay, you're doing the whole make it up and, you know, whataboutism thing. I got it.
No, I love whataboutism. It's one of the great ways to debate.
The reason I called is if I was to rob a bank and took it back to my house, stored all the money in my garage, you think that would be acceptable to the judge and the defense attorneys when I said, oh, hey, we need to have just a special master to look at it, and it's just a storage issue? You know, I don't think that the courts would go for that. I think that they would be wanting the money back and me in jail.
That's a pretty good argument.
They'd separate you from your family, too. They'd put you in a cage.
He's going to jail. He's going to prison. And a lot of people who had nothing to do with it are also going to go to prison because they tried to cover it up. This guy was storing our allies' nuclear material, not to mention other stuff. So much for having friends. But
Delbin, you'd better be careful because you know things that the rest of us don't know, and you could end up being called in to testify over that. Delbin, thanks for the call. Talk 1370, the right choice. Cardle and Woolley in the morning. We'll be back.
What I say is what I say.
Just two rejected applicants for the Biden Ministry of Truth.
We choose truth over facts.
Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Sound off on the day's top stories. 512-643-5483.
Patrick Svitek in the Texas Tribune is having a little rant in his latest story entitled Not So Fast, Greg Abbott, Texas Republicans Face a Complex Election Landscape.
Why would you do that?
After abortion ruling and Uvalde shooting. Patrick, we're going to try to help you here so that when you write your next article, you can... I mean, I realize this is all an opinion piece, and that's fine. We all have ours. Mm-hmm. I'll state my opinion right now as far as these upcoming elections.
Okay.
It's a compound sentence, but not a compound complex sentence.
Okay.
I think Republicans are going to do quite well, comma, but I don't want to act like it.
Ah, as you break it down, yes.
Well, here's what Svitek is saying. Mm-hmm. Things have just gotten complicated since we all thought the Republicans were going to have a red wave.
No.
And let me say this to Mr. Svitek. Biden is rapidly uncomplicating them. The more Biden opens his fat trap, the more he loses voters for the Democrats.
You know, that's a very good point, because here the Biden White House has got their administrative, their leaders from various agencies going out across the country. And Joe Biden, he was in Wisconsin. He went back to Pennsylvania two or three times. He's going to be out reminding Americans exactly what they don't like about
that's
what's
right.
Going on.
So what Svitek is saying is that there are two issues that could doom the Republicans. My word.
The border?
No, one is... Yes.
Inflation?
No. He doesn't bring that stuff up. Nobody cares about inflation. Nobody cares about the border. Not if you're in Svitek land.
There are only one and
no,
two.
No, there's only two. Gun control and abortion, of which he calls them gun control and abortion rights. I have rephrased that as government gun confiscation and a woman's right to choose to kill her unborn child.
Mm-hmm.
And he says this. Abbott is facing his toughest November opponent in Beto O'Rourke. And my comment on that is late night punchline. That's what he would be if the hosts of the late night shows weren't late night punchlines themselves. And then he goes to the polls, and Svitek says polls show voters remain in a sour mood. Most say the state is on the wrong track. They don't like Abbott's trigger law. Texas voters want stricter gun laws. I don't know a single person that wants a stricter gun law, but then I don't run in Svitek circles, which is left-wing journalists.
I tell you what most Texans do want is a secure border and to be told the truth that it is open and not closed.
You know, I got an idea for Patrick Svitek.
Yeah.
Why not, if you're going to write about abortion rights, let's don't call it abortion rights. That's a left-wing term. You're supposed to be a journalist.
Yes.
That's a left-wing term.
and it's a misinformation, misleading point of view.
I can almost live with pro-choice, but that's a left-wing term too. It's basically pro-life and pro-abortion.
Yeah. Hey, have you seen?
If you want to make it anti-abortion and anti-life, that's fine with me. But let's do it what it is. Now, on the other hand, my advice for Mr. Svitek, I don't think you're going to get anywhere on this gun control thing. You know, they put a red dot on the state of Texas. Everywhere there were a lot of guns, and the whole state was colored red. And there wasn't a single place.
And there you go. And what did Beto say?
We're going to come for your gun. Hell yes, we're going to come for your AR-15s and such. All right, here's my advice for him. If you're going to write a column about abortion, write a real serious column about abortion. Write one that I could write. I could write a column on abortion talking about exceptions. I could write about how it is at least reasonable to say that if a woman is raped, that she shouldn't have to carry the child of a rapist or the child of her father or her uncle who can't keep his yin-yang in his pants. Mm-hmm. You know, that sort of thing you can talk about. On the other hand, I'd also like to see Patrick Svitek explain to me how a baby should die because somebody else did something. There's a way to look at this from both angles.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm very pro-life, and I think I'm almost an absolutist on pro-life.
Or how is it that?
But are you, Jim? Are you an absolutist on pro-life? You believe in exceptions?
I do.
All right, so let's say you believe in exceptions.
Okay.
And let's say I don't believe in exceptions, and we bring Patrick Svitek in here, and let's just say, and I don't know whether he does or not, but just say most journalists do, that he's, you know, open abortion, believes in all that crap that the left wing believes in.
Up until birth, yes.
All right. You're in the middle position.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's say I don't want any at all. He wants all that we can get. You know, Some Democrats revel in it. Killing children is just like winning the lottery to them. They love doing it. They love going out. Well, look at how many abortions we were able to do. Planned Parenthood makes a lot of money. That middle position that you're in,
mm-hmm.
If I'm an anti-abortion extremist, I have to admit that your position, if it were law and it were adhered to, would save millions of lives.
Absolutely.
All right, Svitek then should admit, on the other hand, that your middle position gives women who have a reason for not wanting to carry a pregnancy to term the ability to deal with it.
Yes.
All right, then the other thing I would ask Mr. Svitek to write a column on, if he wasn't so freaking left-wing that he could see the forest for the trees, would be the idea of when this happens. When does life begin? I don't know that the left understands that. Is a beating heart life? Is conception life?
Heavens, yes.
What does God think life is? When does God think life begins? Do you even believe in God? You know, there are things that we need to consider here. But if we have no compassion for babies in the womb, that reminds me of Adolf Hitler, who had no compassion for Jews. And I look at it as Hitler was able to destroy a group of people that he didn't like because that group of people were powerless to stop him.
Amen.
And nobody has less power than an unborn child in the womb that hasn't completely developed and can't think and doesn't have an AR-15 to protect himself with, or as Biden said, an F-15.
And you mentioned the forest from the trees. What gets me about this type of story is that they're talking about something that's down number 5, 6, 7, the lower half of the top 10. Polls show Americans, particularly Texans, the number one issue is the border, far and away. Have you seen Greg Abbott's latest commercial that I think's fairly powerful, where he's quoting Beto O'Rourke during an interview that says he will tear down this wall? I think that is a distraction. When we're talking about the Uvalde shooting and abortion, it is a distraction from the real issues of what Americans are thinking
about. You may remember.
Which is inflation, which is gas prices, which is the border being unsecure, and this absolutely cockamamie administration and White House that's under Joe Biden.
You may remember when Eben Smith
one of the creators of the Texas Tribune.
Oh, the creator, yeah.
Was joined at the hip with Beto O'Rourke.
Oh, yeah.
They were as friendly as Representative John Carter was with Luis Gutierrez, the left-wing crap weasel Democrat from Chicago, who thankfully is not in office anymore.
Okay.
Carter and Gutierrez went on a tour. Evan Smith from the Texas Tribune and Beto O'Rourke went on a tour. Lou Ann Anderson, who comes on this show from time to time, and I went to see that little duo at their performance at McClendon Community College back when he was running for something else, president or senate or something.
Okay.
I think it was senate.
Okay.
You know, it's just like this Ann Richards stuff that the city of Austin puts up downtown. All these quotes of Ann Richards or all the rainbow Austin pride signs.
They're obsessed.
I just like the Texas Tribune and the city of Austin to realize not everybody is a left-wing zealot in this town.
Amen.
Not everybody that reads the Texas Tribune is a left-wing zealot. Mm. I first went to the Texas Tribune back on my old radio show that I did for 24 years as a source. I thought it was great. Hey, here's some place that actually does investigative pieces about the state of Texas and puts them up and everybody can use them.
Initially, they did some of that.
Until I realized this paper is creeping further and further left. And as it creeps further and further left, it becomes less useful, except now I feel a need to point it out.
Oh, no, it's gotten horribly worse. And I'll tell you, Lynn, what's going on, whether it's them or anybody else, all the way to our Democrat elected officials right now. They used to call John McCain a racist. Then they called Mitt Romney a racist. Now they're calling Donald Trump a racist. They will move on. It's the point of view. Their liberal degradation of America is what's driving the average American voter nuts.
All right. $270, $270 billion a year. $270 billion a year. Think about what that could mean. Talk 1370, the right choice. We'll explain on the other side. Cardle and Woolley in the morning. We'll be right back.
What is going on with you two?
It's time for Cardle and Woolley's News to Know.
Stay tuned to this station for further news flashes.
Before you go.
And here we go.
We got 4 minutes to work in a whole boatload of stuff. There's some new stuff out, some new information out. Issues and Insights has the story about the price tag for President Joe Biden's student loan bailout. $270 billion a year is what it could hit. $1 trillion over the next decade, and this, of course, is on top of the massive amounts of money that taxpayers are forking over to subsidize college education. And this particular website says, it's time to ask where any of this is worth it. I'm going to say it again. If you're going into college and you're going to take out student loans and pay the ridiculous amounts of tuition that colleges want, you need to be an engineering major, a medical student, or go into a law degree so that you can chase down truck accidents and things.
And that's about
And make money, because there's really not anything else that's going to pay for those student loans. Certainly not your black studies degree or your gender studies degree.
And all these universities are sitting upon billions of foundation.
All right, what about Hillary?
Hillary Clinton, boy, CBS News says that they have an exclusive yesterday on their Twitter handle. Hillary Clinton told Nora O'Donnell the other day that she would never run for president again.
Okay, then Nora O'Donnell had the exclusive.
But she's going to do everything she can to make sure that we have a president who respects our democracy and the rule of law. So it's good to know that Hillary Clinton's for the rule of law and that nobody is above the rule of law, and yet she continues to run around saying that Donald Trump was an illegitimate president.
Okay, she did the surveys, Jim. She found out that she no longer had the support of Macedonian content farmers, so she has dropped out. Now, Hayes volleyball team condemns alleged racist taunts endured at Canyon. This is a Thomas Jones story in the American Statesman. I don't know. I don't know whether to believe any of this or not. I mean, when the reporter capitalizes the word black, then I'm pretty much done with the story at that point.
But this sounds pretty serious.
Okay. You've got students repeatedly hurling racial slurs.
Yes.
Okay, that's bad enough.
Yes.
What could be worse?
I don't know.
Writing about it in a newspaper and probably us talking about it.
And how is that worse?
because it just makes these kids want to do it more.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
All right, so, you know, as far as I'm concerned, we've spent too much time on that story already.
I got a little piece here from the Washington Examiner. Lynn, Buick dealers don't want to sell electric vehicles necessarily. General Motors has announced that Buick's going to be transitioning to sell electric vehicles exclusively come 2030. They're forcing dealers to upgrade. So far, the dealers that are looking to upgrade have spent $300,000 in investment costs. So there's 2,000 U.S. dealers that are expected to take the buyout. That's a lot of folks, and clearly they believe that the United States is going to continue to run on oil and gas.
So Buick dealers are going to transition. Are most of them men now?
And yeah, exactly. Unless they don't want to.
Have they started the treatments?
Buick's going to offer them a buyout where they can.
I do. I do not ever, ever want an electric car.
Transition.
Thank you, no. Round Rock population to grow by almost 75,000 over 20 years. You know what? I think it's because of their excellent school board.
Oh, that's a point. Yes.
I mean, I can't think of any other reason.
But,
I don't know.
But this is remarkable.
Lot of the musicians I work with and book live in Round Rock. It's you know, a lot of people like living in Round Rock. I live close to Round Rock.
The city population is estimated to be 125,000, a little under that, as of 2022. Back in 2010, it was a whopping 100,000, 99,887. That's a lot of people moving in.
Yeah, and if only Aces would move out. Well, just do this quickly. El Arroyo, the Austin restaurant famous for its signs, is expanding across Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How interesting is that?
Gotta love it.
I've never eaten there, should I?
You should. Absolutely. All right.
I'll let you take me there. Talk 1370, the right choice, and that'll put the plug in the jug. Be logical. Remember, you're either an insider
or you're not. I'm Jim Cardle. Talk to you tomorrow morning.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.